Hello and welcome to episode 337 of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. Like it says in the title, we review movies, and yes, there will be spoilers. So if we discuss a movie that you haven't seen yet and are interested in, maybe skip ahead a few minutes, watch the movie, then come back and listen to us, because like I said, we will be spoiling. I am Doug, and with me, as always, is the Grand High Poobah of Extra Features, Simon.
I'm here. I always have questions for you, Doug, because things come up in my thing. Have you ever told somebody, hey, that movie looks like crap, you shouldn't watch it?
Probably, yes. I try not to be negative about it. I'd much rather recommend good movies than trash bad movies. But I'm sure I have said to somebody that movie is garbage, you shouldn't watch it.
I'm just saying, like, I'm going to speak. It's a movie we're going to be doing on my episode, so people will discuss it more then. I just like, why do you care what I watch? I'm not asking for your opinion. I'm just saying, hey, I'm going to go see X.
Okay.
Oh, you don't want to see that. That looks crappy. Yeah, I do want to see that because I'm interested in that. And I mean, I think people got, especially in this world, people got to think sometimes, hey, let them go see it. Then when they come out of it, then discuss it.
Yeah, that's why I much prefer to say, hey, maybe you haven't heard of this movie, Strange Darlings, or something, a movie that kind of flew under the radar a bit. Maybe you'll like it. Do you like
Exactly.
thrillers? Go see that.
I'm with you, because I get that question asked a lot. Like, movies are open on Friday, like Metropolis, is that what it's called? The new movie, whatever.
Megalopolis.
Megalopolis. Oh, haven't you seen it? I said, I work Friday night, I work Saturday, I work Sunday. And today's Monday and I'm doing this. When would I have had 2.5 hours to sit down and watch this? And do they not understand it's football season? So Sundays are football. Football starts at 9:30 in the morning. I'm done. There's nothing else other than gym and work. That's all I did.
Fair.
So I'm just saying, it just drives me a little nuts sometimes.
I get it.
And people got to understand, too, that we do. I do a lot of interviews and try to bring people together. You got to give me some flack here.
Yes, and also, we don't just discuss new movies. We discuss older movies as well. So can't watch everything right away.
True. So I got a question. Did you see how many people have disappeared lately?
No.
I'll say
what do
died.
you mean?
Maggie Smith died.
Okay, yes. Maggie Smith passed away.
Chris Christopherson. And Chris
yes,
Christopherson.
Yes.
And somebody near dear in my heart, the Riddler died.
Gorshwin?
John Astin. No.
Oh, John Astin. Okay.
Played Riddler in one episode of Batman. Batman fan here. Knows everything about the Batman TV show.
Okay. See, yeah. I think Frank Gorshin when I think
well,
of the Riddler
he's
from the
still
TV
alive,
show.
but
Okay.
John Ashton died. And I do have an 8x10 signed of John Ashton because he was in Toronto years ago.
Okay.
And a friend of mine went to the show and I said, here, I gave him the money and said, just get this signed for me. And he said, the funniest thing was, you're the only one with the Riddler thing. I said, I know, because nobody else remembers he played the Riddler on the Batman but me. So I really have nothing else for you, Doug. I've just been super busy.
Yes.
I had some crushing news in my personal life. Not that it matters. The route I've been covering for 4 years, we have to rebid every 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody picked my route.
Oh, no.
So tomorrow I have to go tell my customers who are eagerly awaiting to see if I'm coming back. I'm not coming back.
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry.
It hurts a bit because I really do like my area and I like the people I deliver the mail to, but it'll be a new adventure for me. I'll know maybe tomorrow. I'll have some announcements, and maybe I'll have some new things to discuss on the new route.
Okay.
But I don't know where I'm going yet. I have a couple of options, but there's still people pick out of me. So,
okay. Well, that
so
sucks.
That's about it.
And sorry.
Don't worry about it. It's a route. Nobody died. Like, I have a weird thing. I'll just give you a whole story. I phoned one of my customers. We're very good friends. We have lunch together. We go out for dinner together. Like, I go to his birthday party. I called him today. I said, "Hey, I want you to be the first to know." And I left a message. He called me, goes, "This is the worst day of my life." He goes, "I love having you in my room. We talk every day. I'm going to miss you so much." I said, "Well, thank you, but I'm not coming back." He goes, "When are you leaving?" I go, "I got another 8 days left to delivery and I'm gone." So he's
Well, and
mad
you
at
still
me.
have his contact info,
And I
so it's
said,
not
"Look,
like
I
you'll
haven't
disappear from him
died.
forever.
I haven't died. We can go out for lunch. Don't worry. Nothing has changed," is all I'm saying. So.
All right.
So, have you watched We Got Movies to Discuss, or we're just here to discuss crap in my life?
Yeah, I guess we could start with some movies. I guess we'll start off with, I'll only say it twice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Well, can you
Directed
say
by
it?
Tim Burton.
Will Beetlejuice show up if we say it 3 times?
You said it 3 times. You said the third one, so he'll appear in Canada. I'll just be able to see it through the camera here.
He won't come over the border. He's too busy.
Fair. Well, it was directed by Tim Burton, starring Michael
Who?
Keaton,
Never heard of that
Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara, and Jenna Ortega was also in this movie.
Really? I wonder why.
If you want, I could start here.
Go ahead.
This movie was okay to me. I was never a big fan of the original Beetlejuice. I thought it, much like the first movie, I thought it was okay. I liked the stuff in this movie with actual Beetlejuice when he was on screen. Every time he wasn't, it kind of dragged for me. The stuff with Lydia and Astrid, the mother and daughter relationship there, it just bored me. I just didn't care at all one way or the other. And I think the supporting cast, it had great actors. A lot of them were wasted. Justin Theroux, I didn't really understand his entire thing. Willem Dafoe, a character, an actor I normally love, I felt was really wasted here. He had maybe one good scene when we're first introduced to him. Everything else with him in it just felt kind of flat. Of the bit players, I liked Bern Gorman as the priest and Danny DeVito as the janitor in the beginning. Everything else just kind of, I don't know. It just felt very paint by the numbers to me for Tim Burton. It was all Tim Burton's aesthetics. Nothing new really excited me. I ended up giving this one like a 2.5 out of 5, just right down the middle. Middle of the road movie. Nothing exciting, nothing awful, but nothing exciting.
Wow, we're going to disagree. See, I'm a huge Burton fan. I will
Okay.
say I love Burton. And does this movie bring it? No, but I love it. There's parts of this film I just enjoy so much. I love the opening credit where they're introducing Monica Bellucci.
Okay.
Tragedy. The ABBA scene, the ABBA song was perfect. Bee Gees was
Okay,
perfect.
yes.
When she's putting herself together, I'm like, I'm in. That was brilliant. Great music. Scene worked. I think the problem with this film, I love this film, but I mean, because I'm just such a Burton junkie, I know why I like it.
Okay.
I think you got to look at it as a series of shorts. It's not a complete film. There is no complete vision for this film because Lydia is just a mess. Complete mess of a character. The whole Justin throw is terrible. You can throw that all that out and I don't want to watch it. But if I just avoid that, I love this film. The Danny
Okay.
DeVito part was good. That and they go, anything Tim time Beetlejuice shows up, I'm happy because it's just fine. I love all the scenes under below. I like the stupid dancing to get on the spirit train, or I
Okay.
enjoyed that because that's Burton-ness. I understand why people may hate Soul Train. I understand why people would hate it. Don't get me wrong, it was overdone, yes, but I love those aspects of Burton.
Okay.
I really liked the Jenna Ortega character. I thought she was exactly what I expected more from Lydia to be. I
Okay.
thought she was good. I liked her whole weird story, side storyline. I loved.
With the
I like that.
boyfriend.
I love that. I really, really
Okay.
enjoyed it. I thought they explained that MacGuffin way perfectly. I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I thought they eliminated him a little bit too easily. Beetlejuice did. He goes,
Very easily.
and
It
I
was
was
kind of anticlimactic.
kind of annoyed me. I love the Charles scenes. I thought were great what they did with Charles.
Okay.
I thought Catherine Harris' character, whose name's just escaped me at this
Delia.
time, was great. I loved all her scenes. I thought were fabulous.
Yes, I liked her a lot too. I liked her and Michael Keaton in this movie.
So what did this move for? I was kind of like where you were halfway. We hit the end of the film, the end scene. I love that stupid song.
Okay.
Absolutely love that whole stupid scene. Did it for me. I
The
understand
MacArthur
it's
Park.
the MacArthur Park scene was
Okay.
hook, line, and sinker. Basically, Fitch took me and pulled me up. I was
Okay.
in. My daughter watched this with me. Goes, Dad, what? Absolutely. Why are you singing? I go, I love this stupid song. It's so dumb. But it worked so well for this scene. So overall, and I love the parts you didn't like, the sledgehammer. I thought the guy was Sledgehammer. Do you remember an 80s show called Sledgehammer?
Yes.
I think that's what William Dafoe was playing, the Sledgehammer guy.
Okay.
I don't know if it
I
was,
could
but
see.
like I said, if we take this film as a series of shorts, I think it works perfectly.
Okay.
Because, I mean, there is no overall story arc of any interest for anybody here. I'm agreeing with you 100%. Is it a mess? Absolutely. Big effing mess. It could have been fixed. But just because I'm such a Beetlejuice junkie, I gave this film a
Okay.
3.5. And that's
Okay.
only because I am a junkie. I'm not telling you this film is good. I'm not telling you to go see it. I'm just saying I am such a Tim Burton junkie, is why I'd have given him a score.
Okay.
Now, if you want me to look at opinion, it should have got a 2. But because it just had so much stuff that appealed to me, I gave it a higher score. This won't even appear in my top 10 list, even though I gave it such a high score. I just love it. And for me to revisit it, I'm going to get just as much enjoyment out of it.
I get
If I
that. I
treat
get
it for what it is, it's a popcorn movie to me. I go enjoy it and I move on. I'm never going to watch it again, probably. I'm never going to
that.
talk about it again other than this podcast. But I think if you're a Beetlejuice fan as much as I am and want the lore to be built on and not ruin everything, like I did enjoy the origin of Beetlejuice, even though
You
we
know,
don't
I
really get
actually
it.
forgot that that was part of the movie.
I thought that was brilliant when they do it in Italian, like an Italian. I thought that was great.
Yes.
I thought the bobs were great. So, I mean, I think parts of here are really good. Oh, and I don't want to leave out the woman that runs the reception area for the dead.
Okay. Yes.
I love that character. Take a number, have a seat, take it up, you're dead, have a seat. I think Burton gets it is a Tim Burton movie. You can see it throughout this. There's no mistaking it. I think the biggest problem is that Lydia character is terribly written.
Yes.
Like, what happened to the Lydia for the first movie? This can't be the same character. She never would have become this.
Yeah, she felt very unsympathetic to me.
Shallow.
And she, yes, that's a great word.
And we look at the Lydia for the first film, and she's strong, powerful woman. And you take that away and give me this? I'm like, no. I want the Lydia storyline erased and rewritten. Like, she should be more involved to me.
Yes.
And that was my biggest problem with this. Like I said, I rated high because I'm a Tim Burton Beetlejuice junkie, and I can't slag this film just because of that. But I
Okay.
already have. I've given you my reason why it needs to be slagged. So if you're a Beetlejuice fan, people, please just go enjoy it. It's not good, but I loved it, but it's not good.
Fair enough.
At least I'm honest.
All right, so I guess we can move on to Speak No Evil. The 2024 remake, directed by James Watkins, starring James McAvoy, Mackenzie Davis, and Scoot McNairy.
Yeah, because I'm always looking for more Scoot McNairy films.
I love Scoot McNairy. He's one of my favorite character actors. I like it when he shows up in things.
You could put 20 Scoot McNairys in a room, and I couldn't tell you which one was the real one.
One of my favorites from him is that Killing Me Softly, the Brad Pitt
Oh,
Hitman movie.
oh,
I like that.
oh. I should put an editor's note to make sure that episode's up on here somewhere. When I absolutely go, I don't know if we ever did it. If we did, I definitely hated it.
Okay.
Because I think it was on my top 10 worst films of the year.
Oh, really? I love that
I
movie. I thought that
absolutely
movie was
despise
great.
it. Well, see,
Okay.
there we go. That's why we do this show, so we have a difference of opinion.
Yes.
Oh, it's my film. I apologize. I'm supposed to go first.
Okay.
I have seen this film too many times. This has been, I think I texted you one point, I'm going to kill you. God, I'm bored. This was the movie I was watching. I think
That's
you knew
fair.
that, though. You know my personality.
Yeah.
I don't like these kind of movies. I don't find them interesting. James McAvoy, I never bought him as a villain. I'm like, dude, you can't do it for me.
Okay.
I couldn't buy it. I tried. I didn't believe any of this nonsense. I'm sorry. I just couldn't buy that they had this home, then they suddenly want to kill him. I don't care. I needed more motivation other than they were crazy and they like the entertainment value. I'm like, that's really what this comes down to. They want to be entertained. I've seen this too many times in different formulas, done better. I just honestly did not care. Speak no
Okay.
film is what I came out of this saying. I don't want somebody asked me about this the other day. And we were just saying, they said, what are you speaking? I said, I've just seen it too many times. And I don't think this adds anything new to the genre, was my honest answer. Was the acting fine? The acting was fine. The script was fine. Okay, I will give them some nice points to be nice. I liked the very end, the hiding scenes. I
Okay.
thought they shot those well. I really liked the way they came around corners. I like the way we knew they weren't there. We knew something was going to happen, but we didn't know which way it was coming from. I will say I like the ending, but
Okay.
it took too long to get there for me of interest. I just didn't like anybody.
Okay. I think we had maybe not different. I think we both thought the same thing, but I really did not like the ending of this movie,
Oh, really?
because I had seen the original movie
Which I've never seen, so.
and they did change the ending. And I like the original ending much more, where the bad guys actually get away with the plan in the original. It has a brutal ending. This is the original I'm talking about, not the remake. The original ends with the mom and dad being put in a ditch, and they just ask. I think in the original, it's Patrick, not Patty. Why are you doing this to us? And he responds, because you let me. And then the mother and father are stoned to death, buried in the ditch, and Agnes goes off with Patrick and his wife to be the new child to sucker in the next family. So the original had
Wow.
such a brutal, dark, dark ending. This remake obviously Americanized the ending. The good guys win. Patty is disposed of at the end. I will say I did enjoy James McAvoy's performance.
Yes, nothing wrong with his performance.
I think he's a strong actor. I like when he plays evil. Really, other than McAvoy, sorry, I don't really have much else to recommend this movie. I think I gave this a 1.5 or a 2 out
If you
of
beat me, I
5.
think I gave it a one.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just comparing it to the original, which is probably something I shouldn't do, it just fell
No,
short for
I
me.
think you may have to. If they're doing a direct remake of anything, you want to see what they've done differently.
Yeah, and
And I would too, if I was a
pretty
fan of the
much,
original.
yeah, the ending is really the only big major
No, but
difference.
that ending sounds awesome.
Yeah, the original
That
ending
ending I
is
would have liked.
that it is so dark and bleak, but it's powerful. This one, just kind of standard ending.
Yeah, well, that sucks then, you know? But I mean, it's like a remake of anything. I watched a remake of Hellraiser, right? Which I know the original very well, but I
Yes.
wanted to see the remake. And it's totally a different film, the remake. So
Oh, completely,
I have
yes.
nothing against, I know people get upset about remakes, but sometimes I just want to see what somebody else does with the vision.
Yeah, I could see, and sometimes it's great, like John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yes.
I think that's an amazing remake.
So there you go.
All right. Now our next movie, oh boy, The Instigators, directed by Doug Liman, starring Matt Damon, Casey Affleck, and Hong Chow.
Oh my God, we haven't done this yet?
No.
Okay, I thought we had. Okay, I've seen it, don't worry.
I'm looking at my score for it, and I will say right off the bat, I gave it a 2.5 out of 5.
Oh, you're in. I'll look that up.
I am gonna have to lower that.
Okay, because I was about to give you crap for that.
I think I'm more in the one range on this one, the more I think about it.
Oh,
I
good.
think I
So now we're
rated this
going.
like pretty much right after I watched it. But now having watched it a few weeks ago, it's mostly just left my mind. I think probably the biggest sin of this movie is that Matt Damon, an actor who I usually find very charismatic and entertaining, he was like a piece of wood in this movie. He had no emotion, no real, I don't know, verve. He was not magnetic at all. Casey Affleck was a little bit magnetic, but not, I don't think he was charismatic enough to be the lead of the film. Hong Chow was great. I liked her a lot, but she wasn't in the movie that much. I just think this movie desperately wanted to be like Ocean's 11 or some kind of fun heist film. They just forgot the fun. I think the car chase I thought was the only standout scene. I thought that had real momentum to it. That was very visceral and exciting. Everything else about this movie was just kind of a slog and dull and boring. I think I gave I'm gonna have to re-rate this and give it a one.
Oh, I'm laughing because I mean, I asked my wife to watch this with me. I was like, funny thing is, being me, I saw Affleck. I thought it was Ben Affleck.
Okay.
And then I start watching the film, like, oh, that's Casey. Oh, whatever. I'm fine. I'll watch it. So the film starts off, and I'm like, oh, okay. Heist movie. I love heist movies. Ooh, that's a terrible opening scene. God, this is dumb. Michael Stuhlbarg is really? Oh, okay. Jack, whatever the singer is in it, that's the guy that got shot right at the beginning.
Yes, I forget his
I
name.
like his song, doesn't matter. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching this film, and it keeps going. I'm like, oh no, this is a dumb heist movie. Uh-oh, I hate dumb heist movies. Okay, well, maybe it has some interesting scenes. No, it didn't. Nope. Wow, we're going to talk to Hong Chow about Matt Damon's problems. And she's going to hang out with him for some strange reason and pretend she's in on the gig, even though this totally doesn't make any sense to me all the time. Oh, and then they're going to blow something up and make a joke out of it. Oh, okay. And then they're going to blow up the same thing and make a joke out of it. And then they're going to do something else and make a joke out of it. Is there a point to this? Is at any time this film supposed to be funny? Because I didn't get the joke.
Yeah,
Now,
no.
Ron Perlman has to have that watch. I think it's a watch he has to, or something he had to give up.
Yes.
What
Yeah.
idiot does not know a stupid code? Come on.
Apparently, Ron Perlman.
You have multi-million dollars in a safe, and you can't remember the combination. The only place you have it written down is on a watch. Come on. I can't buy that for a second. Like,
Yeah, and
Toby Tones doesn't know the combination, even though he puts the money in it daily.
This movie also had a bunch of great character actors that they just don't use properly. I have Ving Rhames, Michael Stuhlbarg,
What is
Alfred
Ving Rhames
Molina,
doing in this
Ron
movie?
Perlman. They're
What
all
is
good.
Ving Rhames doing in this movie? Just getting a paycheck?
Probably. That's
I'm
what
not
it
sure
seemed
what his
like to
job
me.
was. He just drives around that van take thing all day.
I think he's a cop. I think he's a
Is
cop
he?
on the take, I think.
Who would know? Nobody ever tells us. And why? And they escaped to Canada for what purpose?
So they don't get arrested? I have no
I have
idea.
no
It
idea
was
why Michael Stuhlbarg and Alfred Molina had to go to Canada.
probably, I thought maybe they were afraid Ron Perlman would have him killed, but that's not
Would have been nice to
said.
know. Would have been nice to know what was going on there. I have still no idea. And Hong Chow and what's his face get together at the end. I'm like, I give up. This was, you say the car chases. I thought they were predictable, dumb, and
Okay.
without merit most of the time.
See, I thought the one car chase was filmed very well,
Not saying
but
Doug
that's
Liman
just
didn't
me.
film them well. I'm just saying I thought they were pointless.
Okay.
And that's all I'm saying. I just found them very pointless. I found this movie pointless. I literally think you could sit in the toilet and watch it and pay no attention and miss nothing.
Fair. That is fair.
Like,
Yes.
I felt bad asking my wife to join me for this film. Like, I really felt bad by the end. You know,
Okay.
sometimes you don't have a significant other and you don't have a lot of time to spend with them because, you know, you got kids and you're doing stuff. You're like, hey, watch this film with me. And your wife says, great. And you're like, oh, fabulous. We can spend some time together, have something to talk about. And you're like, she looks at me, that was terrible. How do I argue that? I'm like, you're right. It was bad.
Yes.
So that's the way I felt about Investigators. I think I'm done with Matt Damon. I'm getting, I hate to say that, but I think the sun's starting to set.
I think Matt Damon still has, he's still good. He just needs the right
Not
project.
Casey Affleck. He wrote this, so I'm kind of over him now.
Yeah, Casey Affleck, he can whatever, come or go, I don't care.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I'm sticking with Ben because he ain't
Okay.
much better lately.
All right, so are you ready to move on to Rebel Ridge? Of our Netflix film directed by Jeremy Saulnier, starring Aaron Pierre and Don Johnson.
I hate to say this, I've never seen one of his films called Blue Ruin. I always mean to watch it, but I never do.
Same with me. That's like the one Saulnier movie I haven't seen yet.
So I don't know why, but let's continue on. So I was excited to see this was coming out. I liked his last film a lot. I think he's a nice filmmaker. I think he makes different kind of films we don't see every day.
Yes.
And I think this film was decent. I don't think it was great. I
Okay.
liked the action. I thought was different the way he shot it. I liked his main character a lot. I thought the problem really had problems with the storyline. He had the right beats. He was giving us enough information to keep the film going, but there was never enough depth for me. Like, I needed to know more, but I felt everything was just sort of, oh, why the cops took the money? Well, they needed to run the cops. Oh, okay. Really? Like, that doesn't seem like a real answer to me. So he goes to hang with the lawyer chick. She gives him what he needs. And it just seems to be a bit of what I need, but I wanted more. I'm constantly looking for more in the script. Action scenes were great. The end of the film, I have a big problem with.
Okay.
Lackluster. Just sort of goes, pfft. I'm like, that's it? That's the end of the film? They get away? Oh, okay. I
Yeah.
was disappointed in that. I expected a little bit more. But everything, I enjoyed it. Parts of this I really liked. Again, I just feel we're missing something on the script level. And I want to know why the other actor, lead actor, left. Boyega, John Boyega left
Yes,
before
I
shooting started. And I cannot find anything
yeah,
why he left.
nobody will say why,
So
but
I
yeah,
am
he just
dying to know what happened there because I'm like, I like this actor a lot who played this character. I thought he did a fantastic job. So I was like, Boyega, what do you have going for you? Like, he did Star Wars like 10 years ago, and that's about it. Attack the Block was what, 15 years ago?
Yeah, he was in The Woman King.
Yeah, another bad movie. So I think he needed this role. So I'm trying to know why he gave up that cash. And this film's doing pretty good on Netflix. And everybody that watched it thought it was okay. So go ahead.
Yeah, this one, let's see. It was a very simple story,
Yes.
but it really felt its runtime to me. It's 2 hours, 10 minutes. It felt 2 hours and 10 minutes to me. I thought when they happened, the action scenes were exciting,
Yep.
but there really wasn't enough of them for me. And also the final action scene was just kind of a letdown. I'm used to action movies where the bad guys get their comeuppance or, they get killed. There really was no on-screen death in this movie. I think the only character that really died was the main character's cousin, and that happened off-screen. All the action was non-lethal, even though they were absolutely trying to kill him. He did not kill the cops in retaliation. I thought this movie was just, it was good, but not great. I gave this one a 3 out of 5. I do like Jeremy Saulnier. I think my favorite movie of his is The Green Room. I think
Yep.
that's an amazing thriller. This one, yeah, it just, I wish it would have been a little tighter.
Yeah.
I think if they cut out the 10 extra minutes and just made a solid 2 hour movie,
There's lots of stuff that could be cutted here.
yeah.
Like
So
that,
I,
at the beginning, we didn't need such a long bike scene.
no, we didn't.
Like I would take in a couple minutes. I thought that was very messy in the beginning. I thought that should have been a little bit cleaner, that opening scene.
And I couldn't help but think he had to smell awful because he was like living in the woods. Where does he shower? I think there was one scene where he mentions needing a shower, but he's still wearing the same dirty clothes that he's been in. So I'm just curious. Okay, our next movie is 2023's All of Us Strangers, which you would have known if you listened to our last episode when on What Did You Buy? I said that I purchased this. So this is starring Andrew Scott, Paul Mescal, Jamie Bell, and Claire Foy. I think it's my turn to start with this one, and this movie is not at all what I was expecting. I had really thought it would be more about the relationship between Adam Scott and Paul Mescal, and I was not prepared for a movie about a man coming to terms with the fact that he lost his parents at a very young age and that they never really got to know him as the adult he grew into. This movie was just powerful on every level. Andrew Scott's performance was absolutely amazing. He could be very much an adult, and then at times he was so kid-like. When they're, I think it's one of the last times he sees his parents, they're in bed and talking, and he tries to get his dad to stop talking, so he puts his hand over his father's mouth. That was a very childlike thing to do. This movie just, I thought it would be a straight up romance story about a guy who was reminiscing about the love that he lost, about, a dead boyfriend. This was so much more than that. This was not a romance. This was really just a straight up drama, like I said, about a guy coming to terms that he lost his entire family at a young age. I was absolutely devastated by this movie, but I absolutely loved it. I gave this a 4 out of 5.
Wow. I'm getting trouble all the time. I had no idea what this film was about going into. I put it on. I'm like, what is going on? You know what's funny? I still, the end of this movie, I had to actually Wikipedia when I finished. So this
Okay.
film is all a fantasy. That's what I wanted to know. Because I understood their flash, but I'm like, can I get some of this is real? And he's going in the past. He's going for, I got all that. It's just the times I'm like, oh, so this whole movie is just a fantasy.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't understand. So once I got that, I'm like, oh my God, this film's amazing. That's the one part I didn't quite get. And maybe if I had read something before, like a synopsis, I would have known what I was going into. But you know me, I like to go in cold and kind of figure things
Yes.
out. So I thought that was interesting. I thought Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott were just wonderful together. Every scene
Yes.
was great. I thought it was well directed. I had a few problems, like I said, trying to figure out what was going on at times. Not in the sense I didn't understand the scene, it was the overall picture I didn't understand.
Okay.
And that was more me not realizing it was a fantasy. This was all like a gigantic dream, which I didn't understand in any way until I read that. Then the film made a lot more sense to me. I think this is one of those films that goes under people's radars, and this is where we get in trouble. People would call us film snobs because we look for these films, enjoy these films, and pull things out of these films,
Yes.
as opposed to me going on about Beetlejuice just because I'm a fan. But this is what I'm getting at, people. This film is 100 times better than Beetlejuice, but nobody's ever going to see it. Nobody's going to get what me and Doug got unless you sit down and enjoy this. And these aren't for the masses films. These are actually films built for film snobs.
Okay, yes.
And I mean, the acting is amazing. The directing is amazing. But you got to like this kind of filmmaking. You got to enjoy this very slowness, loving, tenderness kind of stuff. And you got to push aside. It's not going to be showy, it's not going to be polished. It's going to be very raw and comforting all at the same time. And that's only done because the main two actors are so good.
Yes.
And if they didn't have that chemistry, I don't think this film could work as well. And the dialogue is all very real to me. And things people would say to each other, like you said, things people would do. It's all here. I don't feel anything is over the top or showy. I find it's very down to earth, even though it's a fantasy
Yes.
at the same time. And it does have a nice MacGuffin at the end.
And I think Paul, not Paul Mescal, he was great, but Jamie Bell and Claire Foy were fantastic as the parents of Andrew
Yes.
Scott. I mean, I think all four main actors here were just incredible.
I agree. It's a very nice, cute, touching film. I wish I could say more about this, but I don't think there is much more I can say. It has some good scenes. It gives you background. It's everything Rebel Ridge, which we discussed earlier, wasn't. This explains everything to you. When you leave this film, and that was my only question, it had to be a fantasy because of the last shot where he's
Yes.
looking up. And that's what I'm like, oh, this must be like. I knew it must. I thought maybe it was a dream. I think that's what I left when I left the film going. Is
Okay.
this a dream sequence? And that's why I said I could accept dream or fantasy, but I really think this is just a nice film. I don't think it's going to win anything anywhere, but I just think it's one of those things that it's enjoyable to watch.
It was a movie from last year, so it would have been
Oh,
nominated for
okay.
anything last year, but I'm actually really surprised Andrew Scott was not nominated for Best Actor.
I agree after seeing it. I agree with that.
I think he was fantastic in this movie. And I think I mistakenly forgot to shout out the director. So that was Andrew Hay is the
Oh.
director of this film. So he is definitely a name to look out for me. I think this is maybe his second or third movie. But he is definitely a name that I will be looking for in the
One
future.
thing I would like to say, I'm glad to see queer cinema doesn't faze me anymore as a viewer. Doesn't bug me. Couldn't care less. And I'm glad as a viewer, I've come beyond where I was 10 years ago. Can I just accept that these films exist? And I don't care what it is. Oh, fine. Doesn't bug me. Let's do it.
Yeah,
And
as long as the story is good or the acting is
exactly.
good, I will watch anything.
And I got to say that I'm glad that we're seeing acceptance of that now.
Yes.
And I'm quite happy to see that in cinema. And keep it up, people. I'm quite happy. I have nothing to say about it. I think you said it all. It's beautiful. It's quiet. I can't really ruin anything here because there's really nothing.
It's
It's
also
a nice story.
It's emotionally devastating at times, too.
Oh,
I mean,
you
if
will
you...
leave here going, oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I was mocked because I didn't cry at this movie. It came close at times, but I did not shed a tear.
I think it's just when you need like a Joe Louis drink. Cause you're just like, oh, I'm better now. Thank you. My sugar is all good again. That's definitely a good sugar rush movie to keep you on that high so you don't have to drop during it. So I have nothing to say. Go see the film, people. Not enough people saw this film. Go find
it. Yes.
All right, our next film is The People's Joker, directed by Vera Drew, starring Vera Drew, Lynn Downey, and Christian Calloway. I really don't know what I was expecting with this movie. At first, I kind of thought, you know, they can't do this. The Joker is, you know, trademarked, copyrighted character. They can't just make a movie about that character. But lo and behold, it is protected under parody laws. And you know what? I'm really happy it is. This movie completely changed my mind. I'm now on the side of the artist. I should have been from the beginning. I never should have thrown my sword down for a corporation. The artist, 9 times out of 10, is correct. And especially here in this case, Vera Drew told a deeply, deeply personal story for her, using this corporate character as the medium for telling the story. I think it was fantastic. It's very punk, this movie. It was done with no budget at all, really, using a major company's IP. It had mixed media. It was partially animated, partially live action. And I just loved it. I think it was fantastic. I think Vera Drew, given a budget, could probably make a movie that would be in the top 10 of the year for me.
That's it. That was very nice, kind words you're giving out there.
Yeah, I was blown away by this movie.
I think this film is awesome. Don't get me wrong. I'm just busting your balls. This film is great. I like the whole concept. I really like the set design, how they keep it very moody with the different lights. I like the People's Joker, how the person looks and how they react and how they act. It fascinated me what was going to happen next. I really enjoyed the characters who they brought in to support. I thought they were all good. The Penguin and this and that.
Oh, the Penguin was great.
And stuff like that. I just think it was awesome the way they did it. And seeing this, I heard good reviews. I'm like, well, that's weird. I've never heard of this, but okay, let's give this a shot. And I was just sitting there going, this thing is nice. It's something new, something different. And I mean, DC shouldn't be upset. They do all those Elseworld books and all these weird Batman. It's like, this seems to me just seemed like a DC project.
Yeah, and on it did parody, but it parodied with love. There was no maliciousness in it. It was, they weren't making fun of the Joker. They were using the Joker to tell their story.
And I like how Vera uses no money film. There's no money in this film other than the lights.
Right.
But the film still feels deep because the dialogue is good. The soliloquies are good. She allows us, or he, I'm not really sure. I apologize. She identifies, she allows us to identify with the characters a lot. So I like that. I do feel I was enjoying this movie. I could have had it gone on longer than it did, quite happily. So yeah, I'd give this a full recommend.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that this is definitely a 4 out of 5 for me. I
I can't
truly
remember
like
where I
this.
rated it. I'm sorry, I don't remember. I'm Extra Features PC on whatever Letterboxd. If you want to find out, there you go.
All right. Well, our next movie is Clueless, directed by Amy Heckerling, starring Alicia Silverstone, Brittany Murphy, and a baby Paul Rudd.
Oh yeah, especially out of his Pampers.
Yes.
Clueless works for me on many, many, many levels. I mean, obviously we know it's the Pygmalion story. It's pretty evident, but I th think the whole thing about this, it's not really just that. There's more to this. Like Cher has much more depth than people think. Like she
Yes.
actually cares, which is kind of nice about her. You know, she makes an effort. I mean, I wouldn't want her driving at all. But she does make an effort. I do. I think the fashion choices still work. I think the comedy still works. And I quite enjoy the supporting cast again. I think the supporting cast is so strong in this film, it helps Cher out. I mean, everybody has something to do, which is nice to see. Everybody interacts well, I would say. I don't think there's anybody really standing out. And I like that Cher develops as a person throughout the film. Like you see her grow from where she started to where she ends.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how much her dad keeps getting. Was he a liquidator? He's not a liquidator. He's
He's a lawyer of some
a
sort.
lawyer of some sort. He makes a lot of money.
Yes.
And I wonder why, how I can get that closet of hers. I've never seemed to figure that one out. I really could use it something that just rotates my clothes around and helps me out what to pick because
Or
I'm
that
some.
computer program that
Yes.
shows you what to wear, yes.
And what really upsets me here is Stacey Dash is a treasure. I think she's excellent in this film. And so is Brittany Murphy. But I mean, Stacey Dash just kind of gets left out. I don't think she ever went anywhere.
She is now in America a right-wing
Right.
mouthpiece.
I understand that. But at the
So,
time of the film, she was not. And it kind of upsets me that Stacey Dash didn't go anymore. I mean, Paul Rudd did not become a star from this film.
No, not from this film.
You know what I mean? I just like this film. I think it's a fun film. I think it's a film you can still show today. I'm not going to call it a grandma film because I don't think it is. But I
Okay.
think teens will still enjoy this film today and relate to this film. And I
Yes.
think young people that watched it growing up will love it forever. So it's going to be like our Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I can see that. I can see that. I don't think it's as classic as Fast Times. I think
Ah,
Fast
see, I think
Times.
it is to the generation.
Okay. Maybe I'm just old then, but
You are old.
I am old, yes. But no, I did love Clueless too. I mean, I chose this movie for a reason. Somebody I've been conversing with said that this is one of their favorite films, put it in their top 10, top 5. And I hadn't seen it in a long time, so I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go ahead. I know where my Blu-ray copy is because I was going through a Paul Rudd phase during the pandemic and got a lot of Paul Rudd Blu-rays. So I thought I'll throw in Clueless and let's see what it's like. And I actually, yes, was blown away by Cher. I forgot, like you said, how caring she is. Yes, she got the two teachers together for ulterior motives. She wanted, to get less classwork for her and her fellow students. But in doing so, it also improved the lives of the two teachers she got together. So she actually ended up improving lots of people's lives with that. And yeah, I mean, I don't think it was as funny as Fast Times. Maybe that's just my sense of humor. But I did think that Clueless was very sweet. It was very caring. Paul Rudd, babyface Paul Rudd, I think he had a goatee in a scene or two. But yeah, I mean, this movie does have a lot of heart, and I gave it a 3.5 out of 5 on this one.
I'm probably about same as you, but I just think this movie is a different kind of humor. Like we're looking at a change in comedy at this point. I mean, it's not our team comedy. I will honestly say that. I know I'm old, but I really feel it's a different kind of comedy. Fast Times is straight comedy, constant jokes all the time. There's no real story in Fast Times. It's just fun. High school hijinks and this and that. This I find's got an actual story and a romance.
Yes,
So it's more
yes.
like a rom-com. Maybe that's why you don't bond with it as well as other
Maybe.
films. Because you're just an old curmudgeon.
I am a very old curmudgeon.
And I think that's the problem. So I think whoever recommended this film to you, you need to speak to them and go, I got issues.
Oh, they know.
I know, and I know. So I think we need to work together to get you out of this.
Not for the podcast, but I was introduced to When Harry Met Sally by this
Oh,
person as well.
I love this person. I
We
know who it is. Just so people know, I do know who it
yes.
is, but I'm just
Yes.
playing with them.
But I have now seen When Harry Met Sally for the first time, and
Oh my God, you neglected man. Neglected.
I'm not a rom-com guy, but I will say When Harry Met Sally, I did laugh a whole lot at, and I love Billy Crystal in that movie.
Well, now you can go to the restaurant.
Yes, that is
It's
true.
still there. So are we moving on to our last film?
Yes, our last film, completely different from The People's Joker and Clueless. It is Sudden Death, directed by Peter Himes, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme and Powers Booth, and lots of other people for Van Damme to kick. I guess it's my turn to go first. I will admit this is not a great movie, probably not even a good movie. But I had so much fun with this. I picked this movie because Kino Lorber recently put out a new 4K restoration of this movie on disc, and I have not seen Sudden Death since it was out in the movie theaters, so I thought I would give it another go on disc. And the one thing I remembered clearly was two things: him, Van Damme dressed as the mascot, and Van Damme descending from the ceiling. I forgot how ridiculous this story is, that it's not even the president that they're going after, it's the vice president, because really, would a president go to a hockey game? I don't even think it was like the Stanley Cup or anything. It was just a regular season game. But I still had fun with this. I love action movies. I think Jean-Claude Van Damme, he might not be as charming as like a Schwarzenegger, but he still has his charms, and it was just fun to watch. I love when these action guys with the thick accents pretend they're from, Pittsburgh or whatever. I loved it. I had so much fun watching this. It's ridiculous, but it's fun. I think I gave it a 2 out of 5.
Oh, that's very kind of you giving it 2 out of 5. I think they were being
Yes.
positive there. The main problem of this film is it's terrible. It's absolutely bad. My biggest problem is it's terrible editing. It's like you're watching a fight scene and I can see the edits in the fight scene. I'm like, did you not want to let a fight scene develop? It's literally like Van Damme kicks, edit, kick, ending. I'm like, what's going on? I think one stunt guy kind of threw himself into something. I'm like, what are you doing? I also have a problem with the storyline. So he brings his two kids to the hockey game.
Yes.
I have no problems with that. Shouldn't he be sitting with them?
Probably yes.
No, but he's got to work. It wasn't his night with the kids. He went and stole them from his wife. Okay. They introduce his girlfriend. I presume it's his girlfriend, the mascot lady. I think she's the mascot, if I remember correctly. She dies. He goes, oh, well. Really? Powers Booth is going running through scenery, chopping it up upstairs. I'm like, is he going to do anything? And literally, it's just Van Damme running around, knocking people out, getting further and further to Powers Booth.
Yes.
Answer the point. And the worst hockey scenes I've ever seen in my life. Being Canadian, I know what hockey is. Maybe Doug doesn't because he doesn't watch hockey. I will accept that.
Okay.
But this is terrible hockey. 7-6, like, come on. Badly filmed. I got to say, I did enjoy watching the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay.
And seeing the players on there. I'm like, Luke Robitaille played for Pittsburgh? I don't remember that. And just seeing old hockey players I haven't seen in this movie. I'm like, I wonder if they even remember they were in this movie. It was so bad. They probably just got the paycheck and just moved along. I mean, does they still get residuals when this is played? Probably not.
I'm sure
But I
they
don't know.
do. They
But I mean,
have to.
did Van Damme ever make a good movie? I run this through my head. I'm like,
Yes.
everybody's, oh, Jean-Claude Van Damme. I'm like, I don't think he ever made a good movie.
Yes, he did.
What?
Bloodsport. Bloodsport's good.
That must be the only one because I haven't seen it since it came out. Maybe I liked it.
Bloodsport I like. I like Time Cop, I think is interesting. See, now you put me on the spot, but
Oh, Time Cop, I love. Mia Sari, Zia Sara. I think she was in Ferris Bueller, his girlfriend. I think she's in Time
yes,
Cop.
Mia Sara.
I think I did like Time Cop a lot.
Oh, and Hard Target. How could I forget Hard Target by John Woo?
Great film. I saw that in theaters.
So
Oh,
yes, Jean-Claude
I
Van
gotta tell
Damme
you.
has made good movies.
Of course, Simon does have a story about this film. So I remember I was staying with my girlfriend's family, uncle and aunt, for a weekend, maybe 3 or 4 days. I went nuts. I'm like, I gotta get out of this apartment. I've been here too long. Like, they didn't want to do anything. We're just hanging around the apartment. I'm like, aren't we going out? Nope, we're just staying over here. I gotta go out. Sorry, that's me. I can't sit here for 3 days hanging out with them. So yeah, I went to the movie theater to see this. And I remember that now. Yes, I did drive to Kingston Movie Theater somewhere near a mall and watched it. And then the next day they go, well, you can't go out again. I said, what do you mean? They go, you went out yesterday. I'm like, why can't I go out?
Yeah.
No, it was the weirdest. So I didn't go out that day. I spent the whole day inside. I'm like, this is not me.
No, that's
I don't know
weird.
why you people, they were weird, but that's the last time I ever saw them. So that's okay.
Okay.
So, Doug, don't we have something to reveal today? Your top 100 list?
Right. Yes, we do.
Did you think I forgot? You thought you just wouldn't have it ready? Homework?
No,
Oh, what?
I have it ready. Let me just
Oh, yeah.
bring up
Just,
my list here.
yeah, bring up your list. I see how it works.
Yes. All righty. Nope, that is the wrong list.
Of course it is.
I apologize. I'm bringing it up just like it was meant to be here. And here we go. All right. Now I will do the last 100, so this will be number 100 through 91. Okay. My
I
number
think I gave you
100.
mine to, okay, whatever.
I got it. Number 100 is Sunshine by Danny, directed by Danny Boyle. Number 99 is Old Boy, directed by Park Chan-wook.
Not the remake?
Nope, not the Spike Lee remake. Number 98 is A Shot in the Dark, directed by Blake Edwards. Number 97 is The Dark Knight, directed by Christopher Nolan. Number 96, The Raid 2, directed by Gareth Evans.
Fabulous film.
Number 95, Witness for the Prosecution, directed by Billy Wilder.
I have seen that.
Number 94, Shaft, directed by Gordon Parks. Number 93, The Conversation, directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
Way too low.
But that's the thing. These 100, I love all of these movies. So even though it's in the 90s, it's still one of my favorite films.
If you say so.
Number 92, Unforgiven, directed by Clint Eastwood. And,
Secret, not on my top 100.
ooh. And my number 91, The Big Lebowski, directed by the Coen brothers.
Again, way too low.
Oh, the Coens show up later in the list as well.
I'm sure they did. Well, Doug, if they make it.
I will watch it and probably rank it way too low for Simon's tastes.
Very true. Goodbye.
Goodbye.